The period also brought news of the death of lyricist Oscar Hammerstein II. The last interview he granted was heard over AFN's airwaves. It was done in the States and found Hammerstein and his interviewer, both with tongues in cheek, conversing over the enormously successful Rodgers and Hammerstein collaboration on Oklahoma.
I don't know if I told you about the game that Mr. Rodgers and I often play, explaining why Oklahoma was a dire failure.
No.
Well, let's assume it was a failure. Mm. Only ran 4 or 5 weeks. I can tell you why. And why two professional men like Mr. Rodgers and I could have made so many mistakes, one would wonder. The girls' chorus did not appear in Oklahoma until the curtain had been up for 40 minutes. Now, how do you expect a musical comedy to get over with that kind of inexpert handling?
Has to flop.
Has to flop. One of our best songs, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, was wasted in the first 3 minutes of the play while the audience was still being seated.
Theoretically, nobody should have heard it.
That's right. Well, what's the story of Oklahoma? The first act is about a girl who decides which man to go to a dance with, Judd or Curly. There's almost no other plot in the first act. In the smokehouse scene, Judd and Curly get dramatic for a moment, but they're still arguing about the same issue. Who's going to take this girl to the dance?
That's hardly a momentous conflict.
Hardly a momentous conflict. How could the play possibly have been a success? In the second act, no important new numbers came into the score. They were all reprises of numbers that were in the first act and 2 or 3 minor numbers in the second, except Oklahoma, the number Oklahoma. So we can go on and on explaining why Oklahoma was a flop.
Well, you and Dick have simply been living professionally on borrowed time ever since 1941.
That's right.
Oscar, in Sweet Adeline, you tackled a lyric in which you set forth a question that posed the whole problem of being. Naturally, since you're in love with love and in everything that reflects love, you tacked it to the question of love, and you said, why was I born? Obviously, to love you. Now, philosophically, why were you born?
Well, I think it's asking a great deal of me to tell you why I was born, because, of course, I don't know, beyond the fact that I know why everybody was born. Everybody was born to advance the life in this universe, the life that we all live and that we all contribute to. Nobody was born just to live all by himself or to do something all by himself. I was born to be talking to you now.
But as long as there's life, there's theater, as far as
you're concerned. Well, I would say that, yes.
One of the most popular music programs ever aired by the AFN featured the Seventh Army Symphony, a group that became known as one of the finest musical organizations on the continent. Made up completely of soldiers, the Seventh Army Symphony from Stuttgart was heard every Sunday over AFN.
Stuttgart, this is Army Sergeant Everett Glenn welcoming you to the first in a current series of recorded summer concerts by the 7th Army Symphony Orchestra, presented each Sunday through the cooperation of the 7th United States Army and the American Forces Network Europe. On this afternoon's program of light concert music, we will hear the Barber of Seville Overture by Rossini, excerpts from the second movement of Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony, and the intermezzo from the opera Vanessa by Samuel Barber. Also to be heard on Summer Symphony today are the Bacchanal from Samson and Delilah by Saint-Saëns, and the Porgy and Bess Suite by George Gershwin. In 1942... the Armenian composer Aram Khachaturian received the first degree Stalin Prize in recognition of his folk ballet, Gayani. The ballet, which tells of cotton pickers on a collective farm in Soviet Armenia, was premiered that year in the city of Molotov by the opera and ballet of the Leningrad State Academy. It proved an immediate success. The ballet evolves around a patriotic Armenian girl, Gayani, and her husband, Giko, a brutal man who turns traitor against the communist regime and burns the collective farm. When Gayani is threatened by her husband, help comes in the form of a dashing Soviet army commander who deposes the husband and marries Gayani. As the second work on today's concert hour, the 7th Army Symphony Orchestra will play a number from Khachaturian's ballet. Here now is the slashing, explosive Dance with the Sabers.
In a lighter vein, AFN's 17th year included 52 segments from the long-running comedy series
The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Chester A. Riley's two children are 16 and 13, but doting daddy still thinks of them as babies. So whenever Babs or Junior show the slightest indication of growing up, a family crisis invariably results. The scene opens at Riley's California bungalow in the kitchen where a crisis is now cooking.
But, Mother, it's a wonderful job, and it's only for the summer, and it's not as if I were going away thousands of miles. It's only to San Francisco.
Well, that's less than 500 miles from here. Oh, Mom, let her go.
Now, you stay out of this, Junior. Anyway, why are you so anxious for your sister to leave home?
So I can move into her room. Oh, but I guess it's hopeless. Pop will never let her go.
Oh, Junior's right, Babs. As far as I'm concerned, you're old enough to take care of yourself, but your father'd never consent to your living away from home.
But, Mother...
Oh, face the facts, Babs. The last time you were out with Simon Vanderhopper and you didn't come home by 10, Pop called up the FBI.
But I won't be living alone, Mother. There'll be other girls, and we're all going to stay at the YWCA.
Now, take my tip, Babs, and don't even ask him, or he'll get sore.
Well, I will so ask him, and don't you spoil things.
Hey, anybody home?
Listen, let's all act real sweet to him and get him feeling good. And then when I
Hiya,
Pop.
Oh, Daddy, dear, you look so tired, you poor thing. Here, let me take your lunch box.
Let me hang up your coat, Pop.
Here's the evening paper, dear.
Shall I get your slippers for you, Daddy?
Would you like me to run down to the corner and get you some cigars?
Excuse me, I must be in the wrong house.
Why, Daddy, what do you mean?
I know what you mean, and the answer is no, I'm broke.
But, Daddy, I'm not asking you for money.
You're not?
No, it's about something else. Well, aren't you going to ask me what?
I got a feeling this is a trap, and I'm walking right into it.
Don't be silly, dear.
All right, what is it?
Well,
I'm warning you, Babs, he'll say no.
Oh, shut up, Junior. Daddy, may I take a job this summer?
A job? Well, certainly. Why not? Well, Junior, you expected me to say no, huh? This'll teach you that when you try to find out what's in my head, you're up against a stone wall.
Just wait till you find out what the job is, and you'll say no.
What do you mean I'll say no? Don't be such a wise guy, Junior. I can say yes as well as the next guy. I ain't one of those selfish fathers who stand in their kids' way. My kids want something, I'm always ready to say yes.
Oh, then it's okay for me to take this job, even if it's in San Francisco?
No.
But, Daddy...
That's out of the question. Young girl like you living in San Francisco all by yourself, it's ridiculous.
Now, don't get so excited. After all, she's going there to work for a Veterans Housing Bureau, and
I don't care if she's going to San Francisco to work for the King of England. No daughter of mine is going to live all alone away up in San Francisco.
But why, Daddy? What's your reason?
They've got boys in San Francisco.
Oh, be sensible, Ridey. They got boys here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, but here they know me. I like to look these boys over. When one comes up to the porch door, I can screen him.
You're just being unreasonable.
I'm unreasonable. What about you, Peg? You think it's right for a 16-year-old girl to leave her folks?
Nowadays, a girl of 16 isn't a baby. Besides, I wasn't much more than 16 when you married me.
Sure, but I wouldn't let you leave your folks. I moved in with them.
Oh, Daddy, it's time you realize that I'm grown up. I'm over 16.
That's right, Riley. And remember, Babs acts much older
than... Babsy, I know you're 16. But why are you in such a hurry to grow up? Why can't you be like I was? I didn't act 16 till I was 25.
Well, don't you want me to be independent and make my own decisions?
You can make all the decisions you want as long as you do what I say. Young girl to go out of town to work. I never heard of such a thing.
Riley?
Yeah?
Remember the time right after we were married?
Yeah?
Remember I couldn't get a job in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
So I took a job out of town in Hoboken.
Oh, but that was an emergency. You had a husband to support.
Oh, please let me go, Daddy. It's the chance of a lifetime.
I don't want to hear any more about it. You ain't going, and that's final.
But, Daddy...
No. My head is made up.
Oh, I think you're mean. You never let me do anything I want. You treat me like a child.
Ben, dear.
Oh, how do you like that? Did you hear what she said? She said, we're mean.
Now, look, Riley, maybe you're acting too hasty. After all, you've worked hard all day, you're tired. Think it over, and then
the way
tomorrow...
I feel has got nothing to do with it. It's the principle. I forbid it today, I'd have forbode it yesterday, and I'll forbode it tomorrow.
...1959 brought the opening of the Broadway hit Bye Bye Birdie, a show that added these songs to AFN's library of hits.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Helen. What's the story? What a glory. What's the tale? Nightingale. Tell me quick about Hugo and Tim. Hi, Margie. Hi, Alice. What's the story? What a glory. What's the word? Hummingbird. Have you heard about Hugo and Tim? He's in love with Tim.
skies are gonna clear up, put on a happy face. Brush off the clouds and cheer up, put on a happy face. So spread sunshine all over the place. Just put on a happy face.
He's coming! He's coming! Time to advance! He's coming!
Hey, Conrad! How about answering a few questions? How do you feel about going in the Army?
How does he feel? You ask how he feels, he's much too shy to tell you, so I'll tell you how he feels. He feels brave and eager, strangely humble, proud to be a plain GI.
He will gladly face those bullets, for he's not afraid to die.
For he's a
Ed Sullivan Show? Ed Sullivan. Me, Harry McAfee, appearing with Ed Sullivan.
And I mean to kiss me a few. Man, those chicks don't know what they're missing.
Oh, we got a lot of women. Such a lot of women. What a lot of women to do.
Today.
Kids, with their awful clothes and their rock and rolls. Why can't they dance like we did?
What's wrong with Sammy Kay?
What's the matter with kids?
What's the matter with kids?
What's the matter with kids?
Bye Bye Birdie, of course, was a satire on the rise to stardom of Elvis Presley. Presley, who found himself drafted into the Army and was serving in Germany in 1959. Just before his discharge, Elvis granted an interview to AFN's Johnny Morris. It was one of the few times during his military career that the singer stepped before a microphone.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking to you from Frankfurt, Germany, and our very special guest is Sergeant Elvis Presley. Elvis, it's nice to see you.
Oh, thank you very much, Johnny. It's nice to be here.
Elvis, what are your plans now that you are about to leave the Army?
Well, the first thing I plan to do, naturally, is to go home. And then after that, I have a television show with Frank Sinatra sometime in the latter part of April. And then I start work on the picture, G.I. Blues. And after that, heaven knows I don't.
Elvis Presley, do you feel that the Army did anything for you?
Yes, I certainly do. In a lot of ways, it's been a good experience. I've made a lot of friends I never would have made otherwise. And
you have no regrets?
I have no regrets of the whole thing. The only thing I can say is that I have had people to ask me what effects it would have on my career. That I can't say, again, because I don't know. The only thing that I can say is that I like it better this way than maybe if I had taken an easy way out or so-called pull string, is what a lot of people say, you know, and had something staring me in the face the rest of my life that I always would regret, you know.
You would rather be out in the field with the boys than perhaps entertaining in a service club somewhere.
Oh, yeah, sure. I was in a funny position. Actually, that's the only way it could be. People were expecting me to mess up, to goof up in one way or another. They thought I couldn't take it and so forth, and I was determined to go to any limits to prove otherwise. Not only to the people who were wondering, but to myself.
Thank you very much for being with us tonight, Elvis Presley, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Now, this is Johnny Morris returning you to AFN Europe.
1, 2, 3, 4, Occupation G.I. Blues. G.I. Blues. From my G.I. hair to the heels of my G.I. shoes. G.I. Blues. And if I don't go stateside soon, I'm gonna blow my fuse.
Occupation G.I. Blues.
Occupation G.I. Blues. Occupation G.I. Blues.
You've been listening to Countdown 25, a silver replay of the best of AFN's 25 years on the air. Tonight, AFN has brought you the sounds of its 17th year of broadcasting, the sounds that began emanating from AFN's transmitters on the 4th of July in 1959. Tomorrow evening and each evening at the same time until July 4th, 1968, AFN will present a sound review of the years it has been serving American forces in Europe. A countdown to AFN's silver anniversary.